Part 3. After that, McMurphy had things his way for a good long while. The nurse was biding her time till another idea come to her that would put her on top again. She knew she'd lost one big round and was losing another, but she wasn't in any hurry. For one thing, she wasn't about to recommend release. The fight could go on as long as she wanted, till he made a mistake or till he just gave out, or until she could come up with some new tactic that would put her back on top in everybody's eyes. A good lot happened before she came up with that new tactic. After McMurphy was drawn out of what you might call a short retirement and had announced he was back in the hassle by breaking out her personal window, he made things on the ward pretty interesting. He took part in every meeting, every discussion, drawling, winking, joking his best to wheedle a skinny laugh out of some acute who'd been scared to grin since he was 12. He got together enough guys for a basketball team and some way talked the doctor into letting him bring a ball back from the gym to get the team used to handling it. The nurse objected, said the next thing they'd be playing soccer in the day room and polo games up and down the hall. But the doctor held firm for once and said let them go. A number of the players, Miss Ratchet, have shown marked progress since that basketball team was organized. I think it has proven its therapeutic value. She looked at him a while in amazement. So he was doing a little muscle flexing, too. She marked the tone of his voice for later, for when her time came again, and just nodded and went to sit in her nurse's station and fiddle with the controls on her equipment. The janitors had put a cardboard in the frame over her desk till they could get another window pane cut to fit, and she sat there behind it every day like it wasn't even there, just like she could still see right into the day room. Behind that square of cardboard, she was like a picture turned to the wall. She waited, without comment, while McMurphy continued to run around the halls in the mornings in his white whale shorts, or pitched pennies in the dorms, or ran up and down the hall blowing a nickel-plated ref's whistle, teaching acutes the fast break from ward door to the seclusion room at the other end, the ball pounding in the corridor like cannon shots, and McMurphy roaring like a sergeant, "Drive, you puny mothers, drive!" When either one spoke to the other, it was always in the most polite fashion. He would ask her nice as you please if he could use her fountain pen to write a request for an unaccompanied leave from the hospital, wrote it out in front of her on her desk and handed her the request and the pen back at the same time with such a nice thank you, and she would look at it and say just as polite that she would take it up with the staff, which took maybe 3 minutes, and come back to tell him she was certainly very sorry, but a pass was not considered therapeutic at this time. He would thank her again and walk out of the nurse's station and blow that whistle loud enough to break windows for miles and holler, "Practice, you mothers! Get that ball and let's get a little sweat rolling!" He'd been on the ward a month, long enough to sign the bulletin board in the hall to request a hearing and group meeting about an accompanied pass. He went to the bulletin board with her pen and put down under "to be accompanied by" a twitch I know from Portland named Candy Star, and ruined the pen point on the period.